Broadcasting from the studios of KCCU on the campus of Cameron University, this is the Texoma Report. I'm Cynthia Sosa. The ongoing opioid crisis has shined a light on the role that doctors and the medical boards who regulate them have played. As State Impact's Jackie Fortier reports, there's really not much of a system for dealing with overprescribing doctors.
Oklahoma is asking a court to order Johnson & Johnson to pay more than $17 billion to abate the opioid crisis. Attorneys for the state say Johnson & Johnson, along with other drug giants, waged an aggressive marketing campaign beginning in the 90s to convince patients and doctors that pain was a vast, undertreated problem and that the solution was more opioids. But throughout the course of the 7-week trial, lawyers for Johnson & Johnson argued that the state has failed to properly regulate doctors' opioid prescribing.
Can you state your full name for the record?
Yes, it's Richard L. Zimmer.
And Mr. Zimmer, where are you currently employed?
I'm employed for the Oklahoma Osteopathic Board.
The court heard video testimony from Richard Zimmer, chief investigator for the State Board of Osteopathic Examiners. The board is responsible for licensing and disciplining 2,500 Oklahoma doctors. Zimmer said that there were no standards for handling an opioid prescribing complaint against a doctor. Here's a drug company lawyer questioning Zimmer.
But there's no kind of written guidelines on specific to improper opioid prescriptions?
No, there's not.
Okay. Are there any, even if they're not written, are there any kind of just standard common practices when it comes to improper opioid prescriptions?
No, every case is different. So there's a different set of issues and circumstances in every case, and each one of those are looked at by that case review committee.
Zimmer also testified that there was no standard form of communication between the Osteopathic Board and other agencies that do criminal investigations, like the State Board of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs, telling the court that sometimes he finds out about arrests of doctors in the newspaper. The Oklahoma Osteopathic Board did not respond to repeated requests for comment.
I mean, it just seems a little more ad hoc than might be appropriate for a board that is supposed to be protecting the public.
Corey Davis is a lawyer and deputy director at the Network for Public Health Law. In the U.S., there isn't much federal oversight of doctors. That leaves complaint-driven state medical boards in charge of licensing and disciplining.
The DEA can take away a person's ability to prescribe controlled substances, but they can't take away your ability to practice medicine. Only the state can do that.
Over the years, some Oklahoma doctors have been charged and found criminally liable for extreme opioid prescribing. But Davis says that the lack of communication between agencies means that state medical boards across the country are relying on patients to complain in order to know that there's even a problem.
You know, there needs to be some process other than just waiting for somebody to complain. Because, you know, you gotta imagine that by that time, it's probably too late.
Doctors have become more aware of their role in overprescribing opioids, says Stefan Kertész. He's an addiction specialist and a professor of medicine at the University of Alabama at Birmingham.
The simplest solution for the doctor concerned about their career is to take everybody's dose down across the board or to announce that they will not care for anybody who actually is already receiving opioids, and that's about 10 million Americans.
Kertész says that rather than cracking down, medical boards should counsel doctors who exhibit prescribing red flags but who aren't breaking the law.
Health is actually a more complicated thing, and protecting people is a more complicated thing than whether the pills are just too much or too little. And we probably need to escape that paradigm.
But sending a trained health professional to help a physician change their entrenched prescribing practices would be very expensive. Right now, Oklahoma's two medical boards get very little state funding, though that could change if the judge in the Johnson & Johnson case sides with the state. The judge is expected to announce a verdict in the case later this month. For State Impact, I'm Jackie Fortier.
Also, Oklahoma officials have decided on a plan for using federal money to alleviate poverty over the next 2 years. The state has requested over $14 million from the federal government through the Community Service Block Grant Program. The money is expected by January, when it will be distributed to over a dozen local agencies that help low-income people. One of those groups is the Community Action Agency of Oklahoma City, which is set to receive nearly $3 million, the largest portion for one organization. Tracy Sennett is the public information officer at the agency.
Our mission is to provide assistance to low-income people to help them become more self-sufficient. We help people from tiny babies to senior citizens and kind of everything in between.
Their programs include Head Start, sober living facilities, legal services, and home ownership and business classes, among others. The full plan for the grant can be accessed at okcommerce.gov, and the public comment period will open until August 23rd. State Impact is a collaboration of NPR member stations in Oklahoma. For more on the state's opioid trial, visit kccu.org and click the link for State Impact. State Impact Oklahoma is sponsored by OSU Center for Health Sciences, Center for Wellness and Recovery, offering community opioid epidemic response events in August. More is online at health.okstate.edu. That's the news for this edition of the Texoma Report. For KCCU, I'm Cynthia Sosa.